righty.
Well, 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 everyone. Much love and blessings.
Love and blessings,
Uncle Nick.
Brother.
Hey, 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 brother. How's it going?
Absolutely wonderful, bro. Absolutely wonderful. Lovely to hear your voice.
Yes, of course. Likewise, likewise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. How's the Big Island treating you?
It's absolutely fabulous. Yeah, just really enjoying this stupendous round of synchronicities and, yeah, just this full moon energy rising and, yeah, it feels really, really good here on the newest part of the planet Earth where the lava is spewing into the ocean and, yeah, we can feel amazing, powerful movements in the whole thing. It's constantly shaking around. The house is trembling all the time, nearly 3 or 4 times a day.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, feeling good and meeting some fabulous people and tremendous synchronicities. And, yeah, everything's just going super-duper.
Perfect.
Yeah, how's it going over there?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful, wonderful. You know, it's just refinement, wonderful vibrations. And, you know, just next level. Yeah, feels really, 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 really smooth. And we have the lovely Taylor Core, looks like it's just drive. Taylor Core, is that you?
It is I.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? The Holy Trinity has appeared once again.
Is it your reception that's in and out, or is it mine? What I'm feeling
It seems like it's Michael. Is it yours?
Seems fine to me, but it might not be. If I mute it.
Can you hear me?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think you're all right, bro.
Nice. Wonderful.
Yay.
Yay.
Is it? So we're getting, we've got some lovely questions today. Why don't we, should we just get into the questions? Or is
yeah.
there any, specific, yeah, let's just get into the questions. And if anyone who's live now who wants to ask a question, has anything come up, feel free to do so.
Fire away, brother.
All right. So let's have a look what we have here. Let us see. Right, we've got. I think we should take this slightly etheric question to start with from Nick, and he says that if I'm thinking too big picture, please say so because I often do. But is it possible to manifest universal bliss in this lifetime, or at least global bliss? If so, how? If this is not achieved in this lifetime, do we reincarnate until it does, or does that even have anything to do with it? If I'm getting caught up in details, please direct my focus. Much love and thanks. Nick from California.
Wow.
That's a good question.
You want to kick it off?
Yeah, all right. So this, how I see that is there does seem to be some strange noises. I think it might be your phone, Taylor, actually. I think that's better.
No, yeah, I don't know. It's
I think it might be Nick. I don't know. Someone's. It might be me. I'm not sure. We need to sort this out because it is jumping in and out a little bit.
We're really quiet place.
Well, was it before I came on? Was this happening before I came on?
Not sure.
Well,
you started talking about Blitz.
All right, I'll talk about Blitz, and if everyone else just mute themselves, then we'll see for sure whether it has anything to do with me.
I'm going to you come.
All right. So, wonderful question from Nick here. He's asked, I'll just repeat that again in case anyone missed it. If I'm thinking too big picture, please just say so because I often do. But is it possible to manifest universal bliss in this lifetime, or at least global bliss? And if so, how? If this is not achieved in this lifetime, do we reincarnate until it does? Or does that even have anything to do with it? If I'm getting too caught up in details, please redirect my focus. So I'm just going to answer that quickly. So one thing is, it's a big question. From what I understand personally, each soul, each of us, has our own unique experience in the world. And some of us have greater amounts of bliss than others, but that's all very subjective. So when it comes down to it, everyone's going to have the greatest amount of bliss that they can handle. And that's going to be just the perfect amount for them. And so when it comes to universal bliss or global bliss, kind of abstract in a way, because each person still has their own experience of what that actually means. And to be honest, not many people think about those things. So the fact that you are considering that and considering it important is really a good sign of where you're at personally, that you think about this, because most people are wondering, you know, when the next, you know, their TV show is going to be on next, or when they're going to get some random thing, and, you know, worried about something and depressed about what happened 2 years ago and all random thoughts all day long. So if your main concern is wondering about global bliss and how quickly we can have it, that's quite impressive. And I just want to appreciate you thinking about that. And really, what it comes down to is if you personally experience more bliss in your own life, then as far as you're concerned, the world itself becomes more and more blissful. Because, and I'm sure everyone has had this experience when they're just having just the best day ever, it seems everyone else is also having the best day ever a lot of the time. And it just seems everything's happening magically, synchronistically, and easily, and gracefully, and just the whole thing truly wonderful. And that's absolutely fascinating to experience that. And so when it comes to worrying about, you know, not necessarily worrying, but being interested in global bliss, universal bliss, I would just bring the attention back to you personally ascending in your own level of bliss. You have the aim to become constantly blissful, constantly blissful, constantly blissful. And your own vibration through surrendering to God and surrendering to that, being aligned with that blissful energy, aligning with blissful energy again and again and again, it's going to raise your consciousness. And as your consciousness raises, the whole world, all the souls and everything else is also raising along with you, because the power that comes from those higher states is, you know, counterbalances the negativity of all these lower states. And I personally feel that this is an extremely unusual time in history, and it is the time for enlightenment and for bliss. and for there to be a tremendous shift in the world. And I personally believe, based on my studies and research and experiences, that it is available in this lifetime. And this is it. And I feel that we have a window before us right now where we can really take full advantage of all the energies coming in and really experience whatever we want. And if you want bliss and you want to live in a world of bliss, then just dedicate yourself to being in that bliss, being in that bliss, being in that joy again and again and again and again for the rest of your life. Become solid in that experience. Make that more important than anything else. And you're going to take that with you into the future, into your next lives, and into your destiny that is before you. Because whatever we feel, whatever we experience, whatever we become stable in, whatever is solid within us as a way of being that we've developed and is stable, solid, constant, that stays with us. So I would say to you, Nick, to really dedicate yourself to being blissful, and you will make this a blissful world as of now and progressively becoming so as your bliss increases personally. So I look forward to hearing your experiences personally, and could you keep us updated on your level of bliss? There's this person I keep meeting in one of the health food stores, and I remember chatting to her, and she said that she had was committed to being happy on 10-10-10. So every time I go in there, I always ask her how is your constant happiness coming along, and we have a little laugh. So I look forward to you keeping us updated on your bliss on a regular basis and how solid it has become. Very, very interested.
Well said, Brian. I'd love to add a little something as well.
Wonderful.
Bliss is a consequence of practice. It doesn't happen without dedication and being able to focus one's mind and concentrate on one's breath and enter deep levels of relaxation with precise attitudes and thoughts that you vibrate through your own psyche. This whole thing about being a superhero or a spiritual warrior is that we're proactive in the reclamation of our own psyches. I could say that the underlying natural state of our own psyches of the soul is bliss. But we are part of a humanity that has, completely disconnected and disassociated itself, and is created an insane world that is, for most people, almost everybody, has virtually no bliss at all. So it comes from a very precise adherence to disciplined practice on a daily basis. And we could say that if you follow the protocols of superhero training and really get yourself with increasing commitment, you will access levels of bliss as a natural consequence. But there's a definite order to things, and what we're talking about is bliss that comes from just being who you truly are and not necessarily the bliss that requires on external circumstances to be just so, and so if you are doing that, that's all you can do. And whether we can actually achieve universal bliss or global bliss as you are, and whether what level
you're breaking up a little bit there, Nick. You're breaking up a little bit.
Thanks. So we if many people are doing it, then we can achieve global bliss. But that's a huge if. And all we can do is do the best. And just, you know, be embodiment of our own highest calling and what we're here really to do in our life, live our purpose and our mission. And as we do that, the fuel, we need fuel in order to move forward in that Dharma, and that already existed in us, and it's the dissolving of the discordant vibrations and everything that is not blissful within us, that allows us to access that fuel that propels us forward. So we don't have to worry too much about the world and the universe. That'll all come along in its own good time. What we need to concentrate on is ourselves and just being really, really honest about what brings deep, deep peace and allows us to access those states and what doesn't. If we can do that diligently every day, and then we just start to experience more and more and more of it. And with that state comes a magic, comes a lot of synchronicity, comes a lot of humbling, like the star amazingly wonderful and, you know, awe inspiring and heart opening and mind blowing.
Yes, luckily we don't have to save the world. We just have to save ourselves, you know, and that will save the world automatically. I think that's a very important thing to realize, that saving the world is a consequence of personal change rather than something that we can go and do on the outside, you know, which takes a lot of pressure off, and it puts the focus right back where it should be, which is on us. And because the thing I find personally fascinating is that I always wondered about this. How is it that changing ourselves changes the world? Like, what actually happens? Because that's the expression, change yourself and the world will change. And I think Gandhi said that, be the change you want to see in the world. There's all these different expressions along those lines. And but I didn't really exactly quite get what was meant and how people were meaning it. But my experience is that as I personally change, it appears to me that it's a very different world that I'm living in. And I actually feel nowadays that, excuse me, that I'm living in a different world than I was before, a very different world. It actually feels different. People seem different to me. Everything appears different because there's so much going on that we can't process all of it. So our part of us edits out nearly everything that happens all day long. So right now there's apparently 10 million bits of information coming in through our senses. And yet out of those 10 billion bits of information that are going on all these different levels, we're consciously aware, i.e. what we're aware of right now that we could talk about and be conscious of, there's only 40 bits of information. So 10 million bits are going in somewhere, and we're only experiencing 40 of those bits. So it means that essentially 10 million bits, nearly 10 million things are disappearing every second, and we're only seeing a little fragment. And what that means is that as soon as we change on a deeper level, what we experience out of those 10 billion pieces of information changes. We're seeing different ones. And as we see different pieces of information, the world actually is different. We're seeing a different world. We're feeling a different world, even though technically it's the same world. But as far as we're concerned, it's a completely different world because we have edited out different bits of that information. And as we do that, it literally looks different, feels different, sounds different, smells different, tastes different in every other way, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, energetically different. So anyone who really wants lots and lots of bliss, if you just focus on that, you're going to be living in a blissful world. And I think that's a wonderful thing. We need definitely need more people like that around. Do you want to add anything to that, Taylor? I know Taylor.
I'd love to. I've been patiently waiting. Is it my phone that's making strange sound or no?
No, I think it might have been where Nick was in that moment. But I think we're all good. It's all good now.
Yeah, well, first of all, yeah, I think it's a great question. Nick of Carlsbad. I like Carlsbad, too. My sister lives there. It's a fantastic place. Nice to have a superhero located there, as it is all the locations of the superheroes. And, you know, I just want to start off by saying first that this the beginning of the question, if I'm thinking too big picture, please just say so. What I want to say to that right off the bat is, as far as I'm concerned, no one can think too big of a picture. The bigger the picture, the better. And that is the MO of the superhero, to think big. You know, I personally, when I hear about anything, I always like to take it out to its furthest expansion and begin from there. With any project, with any idea, with any, really kind of anything I hear by way of a possibility or a question or a inspiration is kind of what I've just trained myself naturally to do, is take it into the biggest possible picture or perspective there is. From there, I've found you have multiple perspectives and so much more power than just coming from our present reality. So I just want to comment on that because I think it's too good to let it slip by. You know, my encouragement to all superheroes is to think super big. And that doesn't mean, you know, you aren't washing the dishes. You know, it's like, oh, I don't have to wash the dishes. The universe will take care of it. It means that it just gives you multiple perspectives of being in power to come at a situation that I find, you know, very useful. And then, you know, just in direct answer to the question, is it possible to manifest universal bliss in this lifetime? Absolutely. I have manifested universal bliss over and over and over again in a state of bliss at the level of my soul, which is everything at anyone's level of their soul. We are everything, all things, when we are at that level of connection. Anyone is in you, and everyone, as Nick was saying, it's our natural state of being. It's where we came from. It's where we go to when we sleep, and it's where we'll return. So universal bliss has already been manifested for each of us. It's who we are. And in truth, we didn't come here to manifest universal bliss. We already are that. What we came here to do is be human beings, you know, in a spiritual form, in a human, we are in a human form as spiritual beings. We already are universal bliss. And that's a key component. It's kind of like, well, God decided to hide the secret of the universe inside man because he figured he'd never look for it there. Well, guess what? You've already manifested universal, global, whatever you want to call it, cosmic bliss. It's right inside you. It's who you are. So you don't, it's kind of like already done. It's already over. And, you know, now what there is to do is be on your mission and express that in the world. And it's the idea that you aren't that and you have to find it is where we go astray. It's the idea that somehow we're disconnected or the universe isn't loving and all-knowing and kind is where we get stuck or feel like we're on our own or feel disseparated or disconnected. And that's, you know, that's an easy illusion to fall into, but be clear, it is an illusion. It is an illusion. And so our job as superheroes is to embrace that which we are, which is bliss, and is that, you know, universal connection to all that is. And then live from that, channel that, be that in our self-expression and whatever our passions and missions are.
Well said, well said, well said.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, that's right. We're being pulled by our future. And I often feel that there's this funny movement forward in a direction that doesn't make any sense, because it's coming from the future destiny, pulling us. And that's very relieving to know that, and it's kind of makes sense of these strange feelings and desires that we sometimes have. So, we've got plenty more questions. One just came in here. Is there a difference between patience and laziness? From Martin Nelson, British Columbia. Anyone want to take that one? Is there a difference between patience and laziness?
There's a huge difference between patience and laziness. Infinite patience, it says in the Course in Miracles, is the only thing to get immediate results. Patience is one of the key qualities that we all demonstrate.
Nick, you're breaking up, Nick.
Breaking up?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. It's like a really strong signal here. Can you hear me okay?
Are you speaking through a headphone?
No.
All right.
No, I'm speaking on my phone. Is that better?
That is better.
Yeah.
So, infinite patience is absolute stillness and acceptance of what is. And that might sound easy to say, but it's a huge achievement to express that level of patience. And it has nothing to do with laziness at all. Absolutely zero. Laziness is an affliction. It's what ego strategies and ingrained toxic habits of the saboteur. Laziness is a useless, absolutely useless thing to be here. So, patience is a different thing.
That's right. Laziness is a vice, shall we say. Patience is a virtue. There's a very big difference between the two things. And I don't think there's, just because if you can do something and you have to wait and you have to just sit and be patient, that's a very different feeling from procrastination and, oh, I can't be bothered to do it, and, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Completely different feeling, you know. So I think all of us know the different feeling. And the bottom line is patience is where you want to do something but you can't do it in that moment. And laziness is where you could do something but you can't be bothered to do it. And so they're completely different. They're almost opposite of each other. Nice question. Let's take another question. Taylor, how's about this one for you? How to be free of fear without scaring people off, from Pash, Denmark.
How to be fear-free without scaring people off.
Yeah.
That's certainly an interesting question.
It is indeed.
Well, I love these questions. I'm assuming, and this is a big leap on my part to make this assumption, that being fearless scares people, or else he wouldn't be asking this question. However, I have no experience of that, because my experience is the exact opposite, that being free of fear is extremely inspiring and motivational, and it does the exact opposite. It creates, you know, I like to hang out with people that don't have fear, frankly. But, you know, perhaps if this is the case, maybe, here's what I have to say about this. If being free of fear is scaring people off around you, then probably it's a good thing. You know, maybe those are people that are, it's time for them to leave your circle of acquaintances, you know, because fear, it can be a, you know, it's one of those sort of, addictive qualities. You know, there's people that just really get addicted to fear, they get addicted to, you know, these lower level states of consciousness, and when people feel without, do not have fear, or show up as not having any fear, then I could see how that could be maybe possibly off-putting to people that whose whole lives are pretty much completely dictated by fear. And this is certainly, you know, a superhero is going to want to move into that realm of being fearless, without fear. And so I would say if you're being fear-free is scaring people off, well, that I wouldn't see that as necessarily a bad thing at all. And, you know, another way of looking at it is that being fearless is extremely inspiring and can motivate and set a new standard of living and being that could actually inspire people to want to become, you know, to kind of rally around that. And that could maybe just a matter of you having another view on it that's coming from there. Because, you know, that's why people love superheroes, because, you know, they fly around, they don't seem to be scared of villains. They look fear right in the face. They jump off tall buildings in a single leap. You know, this is, everyone wants to be that. So I think maybe it's just a function of course, again, there's a lot of assumption going on here in answering this question. But it could just be a function of shifting your reality to see being fearless as extremely, an extremely potent, empowering place to stand that can contribute and empower others versus scaring people off. It could just be a state change and shift in your reality to take on that reality and stand in that place that's being called for as an answer to this question. But, you know, I'm assuming that to some extent, just, you know, without knowing a whole lot more about what you're really asking.
Also, Jesus says that perfect love casts out fear. And only perfect love casts out fear. So that's a huge thing for us to live fearlessly. It's a huge thing because it means we have to live with that perfect luck. And that can be scary for people. And so the thing is you need to kind of do what the Hawaiians do with their aloha spirit, with their incredible mana. They blend it with the aloha spirit, which is modest and humble and pleasant, you see. And there's no need to be scaring people and intimidating people. But often, you know, if we're shifting very, very quickly, it can be very intimidating for people. And our level of consciousness or our state of consciousness can be, can bring a lot of stuff up in people. Because, you know, that's what happens. The higher consciousness, the purer consciousness is a catalyst for the change of people around us. So we have to, you know, develop all these skills as we're moving along in superhero training, how to be kind of like undercover secret agents. I like to talk about that a lot, where we're not, these evangelical types on our soapboxes shouting and banging and pointing at everybody, but we're much more, you know, like in the Mother Teresa mold, you might say, with our sleeves rolled up in the muck and meeting people where they're at, with a tremendous love that has all these other virtues and qualities that alchemically balance everything. So we're not intimidating, but our very presence is definitely catalytic for people's transformation. So that's pretty good. Mike, I noticed mm-hmm. this question from Karen. Can we move on to this about the herb?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
This is a very, very, very powerful, powerful thing here. Karen from Hillsdale in New Jersey, Karen Young, is asking, about a young person in her life, a partner's daughter, in fact, who's 20 years old, dealing with depression and the feelings of despair and experiencing the world as a place of no hope. No matter what we do, say, or offer, even the example of how we live our lives in joy, in the presence and reaching for the next better feeling state, she outright rejects who we are and what we believe. It is breaking our hearts. All we do is send light and love and pray. But it seems there are many young people experiencing this same loss of hope and despair, i.e. those who take a gun to create horrific solutions. Can you speak to what we can collectively do to help raise up the consciousness for all? Well, this is an amazing question, and I'm sure Taylor and Mike would love to speak on this too. And what I first of all would like to say is, you know, it is in these moments, in this exact kind of a situation where, things really are challenging, is where we have the choice as spiritual warriors or superheroes to put our money where our mouth is, to actually live our truth and demonstrate the power of our practice and apply these teachings that we share. And the bottom line of it all is that the whole of this surface reality that appears so real and we are so emotionally involved in is an illusion. And it's a perfectly engineered and structured illusion. It doesn't diminish the value of it because it is illusory. But what it means is that everything is geared and wired in a perfect way to make you feel in a certain way, to offer you an opportunity. And this is a tremendous initiation here. This is really, really hardcore stuff what we're talking about here. Can you look at your daughter or your partner's daughter without projecting pity or anything like that onto them and seeing them as the great soul that they are, even though they're going through what might appear to be a very, very, very ugly pupation and metamorphosis? Now, our good friend and mentor, the consciousness calibrator himself, Dr. Hawkins, he tells us that depression is not a disease. It's an accurate response to the desecration of life. Now, she's 20 years old, so she's just come through her teens. The teenage years is a kind of pupation and mutation. What many teenagers are reflecting back is this response, this accurate response to the desecration of life. They're disassociated from the natural world. They are disassociated from their natural identity, who they truly are, and they're absolutely awash with the vibrations and the programming and the conditioning of an extremely dysfunctional culture. And so they are, in despair and all of this. Teenage suicides is, the highest it's ever been, of course. And so, but the thing is, as parents, can you see this girl as an eternal soul and just extend that compassion onto her and be that stable in your own magnificence that you can, view the situation from this elevated perspective? It's a huge challenge for you, but this is the challenge of your life right now. This is the initiation, and you pass this, and you are, for sure, being initiated as, extraordinarily high-level beings, demonstrating it in the nitty-gritty of this illusory reality, of this appearance of life. It's not reality itself. It's just the way things appear to be. And so we need to let go a little bit, relax a little bit, loosen off, dissolve the cords a little bit of our personality perspectives, which keep us viewing the situation and seeing wounds and pain and feeling, these feelings. And it's an incredibly challenging thing that you're faced with to do. But the thing is, life is full of miracles. We are living in the age of miracles and wonder. It's up to us to practice these incredible and protocols and live by these principles and align every one of our breaths dedicated to these, to absorbing this goodness and this miraculous power and bringing this grace into the world. And these kind of situations should motivate us even more.
Absolutely. I think that's a great response, Mick. Lovely. I think the problem we have is that it actually upsets us to see people suffering, which is good in a sense, because we have compassion and empathy for other people, and that's, it's not, some people will be like, oh, whatever, I don't care how anyone else feels, it's normal, they're just not even interested. So the fact that we feel for others and we want to liberate them from sorrow, in a sense, is a very good thing and valuable. But like Nick was saying, us getting upset about it and it distressing us personally doesn't help the situation. And the other thing I want to mention that I think is important, because I've gone through, I think everyone, all of us on the phone have gone through our ups and downs in life. And I can say for myself that it's going through those down times where I'm feeling possibly hopeless or not knowing what's going on and unsure and all these different emotions, that massive breakthroughs have happened. There's been leaps and shifts and transformation has happened on a massive level as a result of those states. And a lot of the time what we do is we try and save people before their time, before they've learned the lesson they need to learn. And a nice way of looking at this is some people look at butterflies when they're in their chrysalis, the little caterpillars are in the chrysalis and they're becoming butterflies. And literally some people think, oh, this butterfly is stuck. I should help it get out. And they cut the chrysalis open so that they can help the butterfly come out. But it doesn't let the butterfly come out properly. And then the butterfly actually just dies because it needed that extra time for its wings to form. And the same thing happens here on the beaches. Whenever the seals come up onto the beaches, there's these people who come and put a sign around the seal that says, don't kick the seal, don't poke the seal, don't try and get the seal back in the ocean. Because tourists sometimes try and put the seal back in the ocean, and the seal has come out of the ocean in order to digest its food and to sleep and things like that, and it wants to stay on the beach. That's why it's there. But we don't necessarily understand why the seal is on the beach. We don't necessarily understand why the chrysalis is taking as long as it takes. And so we can project all these things on it and think we need to change it and we need to improve it and we need to shift it. And we think it must be unbearable. And the same thing's true for different situations people are going through in India. And I've been to places where I might consider it to be absolutely horrific, and how could anyone possibly live like that? But you look at the people, and they seem quite smiley and happy and getting on with their life. And so I think we really need to understand that we don't understand. We understand that we don't understand what people are going through, but that everything is perfectly destined, and it's the perfect manifestation of what it is. Like Bing was saying from David Hawkins, that everything has its level of consciousness and it's its perfect expression. And so when we understand that and we can experience that, then we can accept things as they are and not get upset ourselves. We can see the benefit in it, because there's always benefit in that. And then as well as that, we can see this person in their highest state without necessarily saying anything or wanting them to change or anything like that, but just see them in their highest state, in their original state, see them in the best way in their that you can. Imagine them in their highest state. Hold the vision of them as fully empowered in a beautiful space. And accept that this is some journey of the soul that they're going through that's somehow necessary for their personal evolution. So if you accept that on the one hand, and then hold the vision of their original eternal spiritual state, then I think you've got a perfect balance that is actually going to be massively empowering. And they won't feel any criticism from you. They won't feel any need to change. And I think by seeing them in that way, you don't get upset for a start, and you actually raise the vibrations of yourself and everyone else. And the whole thing is very graceful.
Well said. And I know Taylor wants to say something. I hope she does. But I just wanted to add that we are living in extremely disturbing times, in the sense that there's massive plutonic influences impacting our lives right now, which means that the deep dark wounds of the soul are coming up into the surface of our lives to, you know, for us to have a darn good look at. And it takes a phenomenal amount of spiritual maturity and psychological stability to be able to deal with it all, because it is the content of the soul, the dark psychic content of the soul. And these young people, you know, there's billions of them probably that are reflecting this this disenchantment and natural response to the desecration of life. It has been desecrated, but it's only the surface manifestations that we're witnessing in these situations. And in order to turn this whole thing around, we need to, you know, really swallow this bit of pill and understand that that the grace is sufficient to offset the whole thing. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of testimonials from individuals that have been poised with a with guns in their mouth, or they've been, you know, in the most dreadful addictions, taking the dreadful drugs, and they've turned their whole lives around. Absolutely, after years and years and years of walking in the darkness. So let's not despair. And remember that the dark hour of the night is always the closest to the dawn. And we are in, you know, extremely challenging times. And so you've got a great support network here with Superhero Training. You have some very, very, very powerful protocols and methodologies to apply to these situations. And, you know, I really want to encourage you to use this, use the motivation of the pain of this situation to propel you up and out of this emotional attachment to the outcome of it all. And just let go, trust, and surrender. Just do the best you can, and all will be well. All will be very, very well.
Hallelujah. Yes, well, I'd like to add that, you know, I spend a great deal of time talking to 20-year-olds and younger. And, you know, in all the interactions I have with the realms of light, what I hear over and over and over and over again is that the children and young people are leading the way. They're leading the way. They're leading the evolution that is happening in a massive way. And so, you know, what Nick is saying is true. We have to suspend judgment about what looks perhaps to be despairing and depressing and this and that and the other thing, to actually suspend our judgment of what that means. Because, you know, we have to keep in mind that pretty much 20 and under, or maybe 25 and under, population has been born into a reality that we don't even have any understanding of whatsoever, in truth. That they've been born into reality that there is no, so to speak, certainty about anything. Everything's up for grabs. Their air, their water, you know, just, and so they have a whole different reality than we do. And yet, in each and every instance, the amount of inspiration, passion, and power they have to turn situations around is astounding. Can you hear me, Michael? Michael?
Yeah, I can
Hello?
Hear you.
I can hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
okay,
all good.
Okay, good.
We are
all right. And so, you know, what I've discovered, you know, over and over again, when I talk to teens now, and even younger than that, and 20-year-olds, each and every time left in awe and speechless with how potently they can articulate about what's actually going on in the planet energetically in a very concise and accurate ways that are way beyond their years, their education, their spiritual, well, certainly not their spiritual development, but their, you know, their what one could equate to the wisdom that they've been able to accumulate in their life experience on Earth. So, and that's just a testimony to me that they are equipped with something we didn't even get, you know, because I think, wow, where the heck is that coming from? And in every single answer, what I hear is they're leading the way. You know, they got tools they're going to need, you know. So what I'm saying by saying that is I wouldn't have what is going on for your daughter or your partner's daughter mean what it may look to mean. And like Nick is saying and Michael, you know, you're saying all we can do is send light, love, and prayer. Well, I want you to know that that's everything. That's everything. That is what there is to do, and that outweighs anything else. And just as Michael would say, holding that place of who you know them to be at the level of their soul. But also what I find and is why it seems that, young people reach out to me is that I talk to them as that. I don't talk to them as their depression or their despair or anything other than that. But I simply continuously interact and communicate to them as the ones that are leading the way. And I intentionally put them in that role and seek their guidance rather than feeling like I know more and I'm going to give them my guidance or, I'm going to give them hope and, whatever it is. I have found that and this isn't some strategy, I really truly in every single instance am always inspired when I ask them to share their visions with me and their inspirations. And, so that I would just recommend that you see your daughter as one who is leading the way and support her in expressing that in such a way that you can actually learn from whatever it is that she's going through that she could actually contribute and support to you and your whole family and turn the whole equation completely around.
Yeah, that's very powerful. I think it's essential to speak to people and to relate to them on a higher level, because otherwise we're actually feeding to the thing that we're trying to help, which is to completely doing the absolute opposite of what the intention was. So if you see someone who's depressed and you say, oh, poor you, oh, it must be horrible, this, that, and the other, even if you don't say it, like, that's a bit obvious saying that, but interacting in that way at all, it exaggerates that sense of depression and goes along with it. So just holding another space and talking to that higher part of them and just being open to that, it disallows your cooperation for that state or for your apparent awareness of that state. It's a very, 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 very subtle thing. And I think part of us likes to be, the savior and help thing. And so it actually looks out for negativity in order to go along with that. And there's sorts of weird stuff going on under the radar that's not obvious to anyone. Being the highest, holding that vision, speaking to that, and just being in that space is massively relieving. I practice this all the time, and I find it's just such a refreshing perspective, so refreshing. It's like, there's a huge liberation, massive burden is lifted, and miracles seem to happen. And I experienced this with various people, and it just shifts everything. So I'm looking forward to hearing your results. In fact, anyone who asks any questions, we really would love to hear from you, the next week or whenever you want to share about any experiences you've had as a result of these calls, because that's very inspiring for us.
Yeah, and, I want to say I see this over and over and over again practically. I have parents call me, ranting and raving, my 13-year-old, she's completely out of control, all she does is yell and scream, she's miserable, I don't know what to do with her, I'm with that, she's just depressed, she's miserable, she's, can you just talk to her, you talk to her, because I'm just ready to just, I don't know what. And then, she'll throw the child on the phone, and I'll say, hey, what's happening? And within minutes, because I don't relate that there's anything wrong at all, and mostly I just want to hear what she has to say. And what's astounding is, because she's thinking, okay, now I'm on the phone with this woman who's going to tell me what is wrong with me and what I need to do and, this, that, and the other thing. And, in fact, it couldn't be further from the truth. I'm really interested to hear what's going on with her and let her tell me, and really just have her be heard and listen. And this is such a healing thing that right there. And usually she'll, you know, say, what's happening? What's going on over there? What's, is your mother completely out of control, or what's happening? And she may just, you know, say a little bit about her mother, but usually she's kind of bored with that conversation. And, you know, pretty soon by the end of the call, we're talking about, you know, clothes and you know, what music she likes. You know what I mean? The truth is, my experience is that if there is something else that they can put their attention on that is offered to them, they'll take it. But if all the attention is on that they shouldn't be the way they are, and what are we going to do about that? You know, it doesn't create much of an opportunity for transformation or other possibilities to occur. And so, you know, that's just another whole, you know, possibility, is to allow her to be heard and speak from where she's at in such a way that she could truly be recreated and allowed to have that state and not have it mean anything is a real healing in and of itself.
Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. So Karen just sent us a little message saying, thank you, mahalo, much love, blessings. Karen, tell us what happens. Oh, we're looking forward to it. So please remember, you know, this is deep stuff. And the whole point of this is to apply these things and see what miracles manifest, because that's where the fun is. And look forward to hearing from you. So just got a couple other questions. Let's just take these. We got quite a few from Atiza from Vancouver. Well, I think we'll take them all in one go because they're kind of on the same vein. We talked about one last time. There's two other ones I don't think we addressed last time. She's saying, can you talk a bit more about certainty in action and how to integrate humbleness into the self? I have a feeling this has a lot to do with breath awareness and the practices. And I'm just going to read the other question, and we can talk about this in a minute, but it's related. When intuition is present in our action plan, how can we catch ourselves doubting the intuition or even making it more convoluted than is needed? So this is, sounds like this is all to do with, you know, getting a vision, having a plan and action and getting on with it, but at the same time being humble, not complicating things, and, you know, really moving ahead in a graceful way, if I understand what's really being communicated here. One thing I'll just mention quickly before Nick and Taylor say anything is just briefly is, I remember this word humility. I've been hearing this word humility for many, many, many years in spiritual teachings I've been studying. Be humble, humbleness, you know, is next to greatness. You know, the more humble you are, the greater you are, and all these sort of things. And I remember thinking, and I know Atiza is like 22 or 23 or something. She's in college. She's somewhere around that age. And I remember thinking being humble is for older people. When I first heard this, I think I was 18, and I thought humble is only for older people for some reason. And I didn't even know what I meant, but I just was a feeling that I had. And what I realized is that I always thought, well, you have to have something great. You have to be a great person. You have to achieve things in the world. You have to have some, like, level of success or wealth or something to start with. And once you have that level of success and achievement, then you can be humble about something that you have. But if you haven't really done anything, you're just a kid, and you haven't done anything anyway, what can you be humble about, you know? And that was what was going on for me behind all that. And so I've come to realize that, you know, humility is really about, it is related to that, having got something and being humble, but it's more than that, letting go of the sense that I am doing this, I am doing that, I want to do this, I want to achieve that, this should be like this, this is my mission, me, coming from the ego, and be more in alignment with, like, what is the highest thing for me to do right now? What is it that I need to do? What is this my duty? What is calling me, really, on a deeper level? And just being humble to that. Taylor is inspiring for me in this, because I often say stuff to Taylor about certain things that she does that to other people would appear challenging to do. And Taylor just brushes it aside and just says, oh, well, I have to do that. I'm just going to do it. It's got to be done. You know, so there's no ego involved whatsoever. And it's just done. You know, it's like it has to be done, so it gets done. And there's no point in praising about it or wanting it to happen or not wanting it to happen or I did it or I didn't do it. It's irrelevant. It just needs to be done, and it just gets action, and that's the end of it. And I think that's a really important thing to have in mind when it comes to working out your action plan, and not doubting things and being humble and all this stuff. All of that becomes simple when we realize that we're being divinely guided, and we're instruments for this divine plan that somehow is flowing through us, and we just have to do it. And it's not real except to just listen to that and just to go get on with it. And the consequence of what happens is also really none of our business either. We just have to get on with stuff. And when we have that attitude, it's liberating, it's exciting, it's deeply humbling because it's nothing to do with us personally, and we just feel almost as if we're following some higher guidance. And the whole thing is on another level. And I think Nick often has all these downloads that he shares with me about all kinds of things, and I think this is really the place to live from, is where we just get divinely inspired. I just sit in silence, and all these ideas come, and I don't know why they're there. And then I just kind of feel that I have to do something, and I just do it, and that's it. You know, and it really bypasses all these different things about is this right, is this not right. It's just a sense that it needs to be done, and it has to be done, and that's the end of it. That's just something I wanted to share with you. Anything you want to say about that? Or just reference to this?
That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's an alchemy, isn't it? It's we're alchemists. Superheroes are alchemists, and I love those. You often hear those great quotes from wise, old, successful people that the more they know, you know, the more they realize the little that they do know. Life is a constantly humbling experience as you stand in awe of the magnitude and the wonder of it all. And, you know, humility is a natural consequence of being on the right path, I think. And... you know, ego and arrogance go hand in hand together. And, you know, life's there just to, you know, keep us heading in the right direction. But if we're really smart, we're internal alchemists, and we're managing our own energies, we're managing our thoughts and words and actions in a masterful way. And, you know, these principles that we align ourselves with in this superhero training, you know, they just keep us on the right track. So the, you know, the humility isn't a weak and thing at all. It's actually very, very, very empowering, and just keeps you in that, you know, feet on the ground, and you can relate to the quote unquote little people. You can relate to very ordinary, down to earth people, and we want to be able to relate to ordinary folks, so that we can meet them where they're at and help them along if they need a little guidance from us who's been maybe studying and practicing and researching and finding up you know, good wisdom and, you know, quote-unquote secrets that empower us. And the humility, we need it because, you know, without that, we can't handle the power. And really, you know, without any sort of emotional charge about it or defining what the word is, it's more of a, you know, a natural, internal state of being, state of consciousness. So you are, your sense of self, you're aware of how vast everything is and how great the life itself is. And your relationship to it, the way you merge, the way you merge with that life, the way you merge with your spiritual source, and the surrender that is required within you in order to experience that communion and these higher octaves of bliss that we were talking about before, you know, they naturally requires humility in order to do that, and it naturally produces humility from you know, from the harvest of the experience, so to speak.
Hmm. Yeah, humility is great.
The meek shall inherit the earth.
That's right. It's much more enjoyable to be humble, because being egoed out, arrogant is guaranteed. You know, you're gonna basically be shot down and suffer for it. So, just keeping things simple and just following guidance. And another thing I've learned around this is, you know, I've had my ass kicked so many times. And, you know, a lot of the time, I remember when I was doing design work back in the day, this was a really humbling experience where people would ask me to design something for them. And they would ask me because I know how to do stuff. They don't know how to do it, otherwise they could do it themselves. And they've requested my skills and services. And despite requesting all these skills and services, I would design something, and then they would say, oh, I don't like that, I don't like that, I don't like that, I want da 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 da, and they would sort of just like, just shoot me down on something. And I used to have this ego reaction, like, who do you think you are telling me what to do? You don't know anything about this stuff, that's why you asked me, and you asked me this stuff, and you haven't got a clue what you're talking about, and you're telling me that that isn't right. And I used to sort of get slightly annoyed and angry about it. After a few rounds of that, and being angry was very unpleasant for me, I realized that I'm actually just an instrument to manifest their vision. And whatever they want is the thing that I'm going to do, because at the end of the day, I'm here to serve them. And once I had that attitude, it just got rid of the ego, got rid of me, and I just became a humble servant. And much more pleasant for me. The other person was happy. And, you know, everything was much, much faster, more enjoyable, and more effective. And that was a big lesson. You know, this is going over a period of years and having a good kicking on a number of occasions. But now, you know, I just don't see any point. So we're kind of being divinely guided to do things. And we just need to be humble and get on with it. And everything really... From that point is pretty graceful.
Oh yeah, there's just such freedom, and it's true. I think humility and being of service, like Nick was saying, is just humility is a natural consequence of being on the right path. I also believe it's a natural consequence of being in service. You know, when you have kind of giving your life over to being of service to the greatest good, then all there is to be humble, because I know for sure I don't know at all what that may or may not be. And, you know, pretty much I go into every call I have, every session I have, very clear that I have no agenda whatsoever. I do not know what the outcome will be. Because I've just given myself to being of service and follow the showing up and just listen and you know, be in that space of humility. And that is the ultimate space of freedom and surrender and trust, because there's no place to go to, and there's sort of nothing to do. And to me, it's from that place that miracles happen. That's why, you know, like Nick was saying, Mother Teresa could, you know, or anyone that performs miracles, I suspect is standing in that space. And because they recognize that they are simply an instrument, like Michael was saying, it is not me. You know, I've been challenged. I had to put together a bio the other day for this organization, and they're like, "Well, who are you, Mayors? What do you do?" Sat down to write it, and I realized that really, what would be true, the real authentic bio to write is that, you know, I don't really do anything at all, and in the end, I actually end up writing such a bio because, you know, I realize most bios or, you know, most of those things they put together to kind of prove, you know, to kind of demonstrate or give evidence for why someone should listen to you, like you're an authority on this or that or the other thing. You kind of stack up all the credentials. And I realized that just to me was completely inauthentic to do that. That all, it felt like the only credential that really made any difference at all to talk about was that I didn't know anything at all. And that was my best credential for what I had to offer anyone or anything.
Right.
But I think that's a huge credential because, you know, if you're standing in I don't know, anything is possible. And you are in the ultimate space of service and humility.
Yeah, I remember, this just reminds me of a friend of mine moved into an ashram in India. She was told by the people, she said, what would you like me to do? And they said to her, do nothing very, very slowly. Do nothing very, very slowly.
That's where the ultimate patience comes in.
Yeah, that was her job, you know. And so she was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to work out what that even means, you know. But that's good advice. So, and of course, that goes against the Western mind of running around achieving all day long. But these are very deep, deep, deep things. And so, let's just take the last question. This is from Michelle. Nick, the question is, Nick made it very clear that the breathing meditation is the core practice and has encouraged us to do it AM and PM two times a day. What if you already have a deep meditation practice that you do, like TM? I generally do TM in the morning, in the evening, before dinner. During the superhero training, should I replace my TM, or will it be sufficient to add the breathing practice two times a day at another time of day, for instance, midday and late evening? So what I would say about that is the breathing is not the core meditation for the superhero training. It's the beginning practice to get you to focus your the point of the breathing is to create a level of concentration, because concentration is an essential thing to develop. So practice as much as you can, certainly for the first 1 to 2 months. that let it be known, and this is important, that really what you're doing is you're breathing in of infinite peace and light, and breathing in those higher states, and you're breathing out that into the world. And what you're aiming to do in any meditation is to go deep into a higher state of consciousness, develop a higher state of consciousness, and actually alter your state, which is probably what you're getting from the TM meditation. And the aim of the superhero training is to develop a state of consciousness, a state of being that you can have all day long. The point of the meditations and the breathing and all this stuff is to develop that you can then bring into your life and really become that. Because meditation, you know, a lot of people, this has to be mentioned, a lot of people that do various kinds of meditation, TM or whatever meditation, there's loads of meditations. A lot of people do their meditation, have their experience, and then straight away afterwards or soon afterwards, they're back to their usual nonsense. And nothing actually has changed except they had an experience, much like, you know, maybe eating ice cream might be pleasant at the moment, but then it doesn't make any afterwards because you're back to normal and you know, it's just a temporary experience. So what we're aiming with the superhero training is for you to do these meditations. I encourage meditation and really going deep into those states. But the aim is to take it deeper, to develop and to experience those states, generally speaking. And I actually often recommend people do their meditation with their eyes open. So you might even try doing TM or whatever you do with your eyes open so that you being able to be in that deeper state of theta and delta wave peaceful states whilst your eyes are open. And then see if you can experience that whilst you're doing other things like wandering around, talking to people. Because that's what we want. We want to have a higher state of being in general, not that we have it now and again in the morning and the evening. So try and imagine yourself having a practice all day long. That's a good attitude to have. Your part of you is aware of these higher things constantly, and that is the point of the meditation. So hopefully that makes sense. And of course, we have various meditations in the superhero training, and they're all designed for different purposes to help you discover things about yourself, go deeper. But just understand, anything we offer you is designed for you to practice it to the point that it becomes a natural way of being, and that's really what we're going for. Any last thoughts? Taylor Cole?
Are we done all with all the questions?
Yeah, we seem to have gone through them all, yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, this is a very powerful weekend that's before us, beginning tomorrow with Good Friday. Of course, this is Mr. Good's day of the year. We celebrate, I always make it a point to wish Mr. Good a Good Friday. And it also happens to be a very potent first full moon of spring, a very, very potent full moon. A good time for rituals to let go of anything you're wishing to let go of. But really, you know, it's a time of rebirth and renewal, let's face it. You know, it's interesting. Easter falls much earlier in this time and Passover. And so this is a powerful, powerful time planetary-wide of rebirth and renewal, and that whole energy of that is going to be very, very tangible. And so to really tap into that, if there's anything you're wanting to resurrect in yourself, you know, there's no better time than to have a whole ceremony devoted to that on the full moon or any time, really, this whole weekend. That energy is going to be cosmically, universally, and just every other darn thing. Just right there and huge opportunities for evolution and transformation. So I'm gearing up for that. I'm gearing up for that.
Tomorrow is a full moon. Yeah. You know, take advantage of these things. You know, I actually find the full moon a little bit intense a lot of the time, and I sometimes don't particularly like it because it keeps me up at night. And I sleep, you know, partly outside, and there's almost like this big light bulb turned on above the house. And I'm like, what's going on here? This is ridiculous. But it is very, very powerful, you know, and I think best things to do is to actually look at the moon and be with the moon on purpose and be aware of it, you know, because when we're aware and using the energy on purpose, it makes it different than when we're sort of trying to just like deal with the energy without taking advantage of it. It's just sometimes what can happen. So, Taylor, what do you recommend people to actually take advantage of this different lunar cycles and energy? So what would you recommend someone actually does tomorrow?
Well, in this case, especially since it is difficult to sleep, all the more reason to do a ritual, a ceremony, since you aren't going to be sleeping anyways. But I personally, this energy of this weekend and moon is about resurrection and renewal. So it really is about looking at what in ourselves, what aspects of ourselves do we want to be reborn or born again or born newly. And it's spring. It's the first full moon of spring. So all the energy of rebirth, of course, that's if you're in this hemisphere. And then, of course, in the opposite hemisphere, it's the first full moon of fall. Either way, it's a powerful time of transition. And so I like to really be in a sacred way. You know, I like to devote the day to being in nature and really connecting into that energy because it's all day long. It's not just night. You know, it's all the time. And connecting into all of the planetary energy that's going to be focused on renewal and resurrection, you know, just knowing that that's a Christian sort of notion. And then, of course, there's also Passover, which is occurring. And so, you know, any time where you have that many individuals in a reflective mode of looking at resurrection and renewal, which is both the major religions on the planet, that's a number of people. And so I just find that's a really opportune time to use that energy to plant those seeds in an individual and global way in whatever it is where you're wanting to manifest and move forward. You know, I just think it's a real, you know, throughout time, cultures usually would stop everything on those days, and the whole day would be about that level of honoring and reflection and creation. And so I usually do look at them as sacred opportunities for just bringing ritual and presence to what it is I want to create. And in this case, it's really planting the seeds for spring. You know, what is it we're wanting to plant that's going to grow the entire rest of the season? You know, what are those things? And really, I kind of look at it as a full moon and new moons as opportunities of creation, of real cosmic creation that we can align with that energy and state intentions for what it is we want to both let go of and create. And make our own little rituals up, you know. Be guided to what, you know, feels good to you to do.
Great. So go and have fun. This is a powerful moon. I can already feel it. I've been feeling it the last few days. It's been keeping me up already. And, yeah, big changes are happening. And I think one of the most powerful things that we can do is, you know, have hard conversations with people about various things, or you just get clear on stuff that's stagnant and needs to be shifted. Because that's often the reason why we're stuck, or we can have weird things going on. We're not addressing stuff. So I think it's just good to have clarity and rituals around whatever we want. Just really get clear on what we want and do something towards moving it forward, getting more clarity, shifting something, cleaning stuff, anything that creates movement in the direction that we want and liberates us from what we don't want is very powerful around the new moon. So, yeah, unless anyone has any more questions, we're going to be sending lots of love and blessings and looking forward to talking to you guys all next